Hello, America. Welcome. I'm your host, Mark Levine. It's been described as Hiroshima every 9 days. The bombing continues every day, and it's causing entire mountains to be destroyed. It causes arsenic and other toxic metals to go flying in the air, crushing streams. It sounds like the awful bombing in Iraq or Afghanistan or around the globe, but it's happening right here in America, right here throughout Appalachia, mostly in the state of West Virginia, but definitely also in places like Kentucky, southwestern Virginia, western North Carolina, and eastern Tennessee. It's known by the euphemism mountaintop removal, which makes it sound, I don't know, they're just cutting off the mountaintops. It happens to be a far more violent thing, and it's destroying communities in West Virginia, both people's lives and the nature around them. To talk about mountaintop removal and the solution to this problem, I've invited Lorella Scarborough. She is a community organizer with Coal River Wind Project. Lorella, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark.
Lorella, you were telling me before the show about where you live. Tell me about your town in West Virginia.
I live in a little place called Rock Creek, West Virginia, which is in the southern coal fields of West Virginia. I live 3 miles up in Rock Creek. It's a very, very peaceful place. I have 10 acres there, and there's abundant wildlife. There's fruit trees that my husband and I planted together. There's a freshwater stream that runs by my driveway. There are nut trees.
What kind of wildlife's out there?
Oh, there are bear, there's deer, there's turkey, squirrels.
Bear on the East Coast? I thought that was only out west.
Bear in West Virginia, absolutely. And it's a very, very peaceful place. It's a place that's been in my husband's family for several generations. And my husband spent 35 years as an underground union coal miner, and he's buried in the family cemetery next door. The home that I live in, he built with his own two hands. He built from the ground up. That's where I raised my children and was married to him. And because of what's called mountaintop removal, everything that I have and everything there is at risk.
Well, now, you were telling me your family's been at least 6 generations in West Virginia, possibly longer. You just haven't been able to trace it back that far. In towns like these, I mean, your town is, what, 100 people or so? That's where your family's been?
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, for more than 100 years, coal companies have done coal mining. I mean, that's nothing new to West Virginia.
No.
So what's the difference between the traditional or underground coal mining that I guess your father, your grandfather, great-grandfather participated
Absolutely.
In and what they're now calling mountaintop removal?
Well, in the process of mountaintop removal, what they do is they come in and they clear off the trees, and most of the time they don't even harvest those trees, that hardwood trees. They just shove them over the side of the mountain because it takes too much time, and this is another thing that's in the path of their progress. They shove them over the side of the mountains, they clear everything off the surface, and then they set charges and they blow the tops off the mountains.
Charges, like dynamite?
What they use is ammonium nitrate and fuel oil. That's the same thing that Timothy McVeigh used in the Oklahoma City bombing.
Wow.
And
so that's powerful stuff.
It absolutely is. And when Timothy McVeigh used that in Oklahoma City, they called that a bomb. When they use it throughout Appalachia, they call that progress.
So they just sort of blow up the top of the mountain and it just flies in the air. What catches it?
They blow off the top of the mountain, and it goes over the side of the mountain. What's left in the rubble, they clear, and they shove over the side of the mountains also. They do valley fills, and in the process of doing that, they're covering streams. They've covered the headwater streams. Well over 1,400 miles of headwater streams have already been covered in the state of West Virginia, and those are the waterways, those are the headwater streams that feed into our waterways. So
like the Potomac River right outside Washington, D.C., is fed by streams in West Virginia.
They are depleting our water resources every day as they're covering the streams.
Now, when they throw all this stuff in the streams, is it just rock and rubble, or are there dangerous things that get in the streams from this?
There are, when they blow the tops off the mountains and they take their waste and they cover it in the streams, there's a lot of really nasty, nasty metals that ends up in our waterways also.
Things like arsenic and...
arsenic, lead, mercury. Yeah,
and another poison. This is, of course, dialogue, which means that you are welcome to join in, agree, disagree, or give us your own opinion. The number is 202-588-0893. We'd love to hear from you, 202-588-0893. So you were describing where you live, this sort of sounds like an idyllic place, actually, with
it's a very peaceful place.
Yeah, with mountains and wind and trees and animals and so forth. And then what's left when the coal companies are done with blowing up the mountain? Well, what does it look like?
When the coal companies are through with the mountaintop removal project, it looks like a moonscape. There are miles and miles and miles of just barren land that nothing can survive on. Wildlife won't survive there. Vegetation doesn't survive. They compact the rock. They take a mountain and they literally turn it inside out and turn it into a moonscape.
Now, the places that they're destroying, the Appalachian Mountains, they're one of the oldest mountains in the world. I mean, I know the oldest in the United States, right? I mean, this chain has pre-existed humanity and much else.
It certainly is. It's one of the oldest mountain ranges. And we need those mountains left intact in order to feed the rest of the area.
Now, in terms of mountaintop removal, this is fairly new, right? I mean, you talked about the fact your father, grandfather, they've done underground coal mining for years. When did this really start happening? What allowed this to happen?
Well, strip mining, the SMCRA was written, which was a federal law, which was the Surface Mine Reclamation Act, was written in 1977 and signed into law. And what's happened in about the past 15 years is we've gone from strip mining to strip mining on steroids, which is what mountaintop removal is. The strip mining that they did 30 years ago certainly is no comparison to what they are absolutely doing right now. They're destroying everything in their path.
And my understanding is there was the Bush administration actually changed the way the law was interpreted, that there was the Clean Water Act said you can't throw waste into rivers, and Bush administration said, yes, you can.
The Bush administration changed one word. He changed the word waste to fill. And it's illegal to dump waste into the streams, but it's legal to dump fill into streams. So he changed one word, and what we are trying to do is we are trying to get past the Clean Water Protection Act, which would basically return it to the original intent of the law.
So from the 70s until, I guess, 2001, 2002, everyone understood you can't blow up a mountain and just throw all the remains, the trees, the hot toxic metal, the rocks, the debris into the streams. And Bush administration said, oh, yes, you can.
The Bush administration said, yes, you can do a lot of things that you really shouldn't do.
So now we have a new administration, the Obama administration. We have a Democratic Congress. What is your organization doing to return things to the way they used to be?
We are lobbying. We're lobbying very, very hard for the Clean Water Protection Act. There are about 120 of us on Capitol Hill this week. When we got here on Saturday, we had 123 co-sponsors. In the past 2 days, we picked up about seven, I think, new co-sponsors to this act, and it's moving very, very fast.
So you think you may actually win this battle?
I think we have a really good shot at this.
You were telling me before the show that you had a nice discussion with the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and I remember thinking when you told me that, how could you have a nice, oh, right, new administration?
Absolutely. Yes, we are having conversations with the EPA. We've had a couple of very lengthy meetings in the past couple of days. We've actually met with the Office of Surface Mining also, which is new territory for us, to have a civilized conversation with the OSM. The new EPA, Lisa Jackson, of course, is the new head of the EPA. We met with some of her people the past couple of days. We today met with the Environmental Justice Department of the EPA, and those people are really beginning to understand exactly the injustices that are going on throughout Appalachia. They can get the majority of the coal in Coal River Mountain by traditional room and pillar coal mining jobs. In the state of West Virginia, at one time, we had 125,000 coal mining jobs. With mountaintop removal and the mechanization that goes along with that, we have lost over 100,000 coal mining jobs in the state of West Virginia. We're down around 16,000 coal mining jobs, and about 5,000 of those are on mountaintop removal.
Now, wait, that's a very important point, so it bears repeating, that mountaintop removal doesn't just destroy mountains,
it destroys jobs.
And explain exactly why it would destroy jobs. I mean, don't people work on mountaintop removal?
People do work on mountaintop removal sites, but when you have people doing traditional room and pillar coal mining.
Room and pillar, that's underground.
That's underground coal mining. It takes a lot more men to do that than it does a man to one man to operate this huge machinery on the surface that destroys the mountain.
Sophia, anything else you want to say?
Just thank you very much, Loretta, for looking after that beautiful state of yours.
I certainly
enjoyed it, and I miss it terribly, and I wish you the best of luck, and I send all my love to the folks in West Virginia.
Thank you. You come back.
Thank you for your call, Sophia, and your very good question. Let's move on to Rick. Rick, welcome to the show.
And I send all my love
Rick, turn down your radio so we can hear you. There's a delay. We only want to hear you, not the radio again. So talk to us.
Well, interesting program. I don't know anything about cold except if you leave it in the ground long enough, you get diamonds. And in that vein, the one thing that I would like to hear you talk more about, and maybe someone, maybe not your folks that are talking now, maybe there's another group that might have a passion or interest in this. Your diamonds are your children. You're worried about your jobs. You're worried about your state. The only renewable resource, truly renewable on this planet, are the children. Somehow, it seems to me, you must compel the government, state and federal, to compel these organizations that are extracting this coal, doing whatever it is they're doing, to utilize these resources to help these children that are from these families to redesign themselves. You said that all of these kids, all they think is coal, so they come from coal families, they expect to go into the coal industry and suffer the same hardships as their fathers. You need to be thinking about how to transition that. I don't see why West Virginia, with all of its natural resources, can't become the alternative resource capital of America. You've got wind, you've got water. If climate can't the federal government be compelled, and the coal mining organizations to contribute significantly to help change the future. You can't change the past. You can re-educate a lot of these 100,000 people that have lost their jobs. The real future for West Virginia, I believe, is going to be redirecting the thinking and goal orientation of the children that are being born now and are to come.
It's a good point. Let me address it to our guest. Let me give my guest a chance to respond. It's a good point. I should tell you, there's also tourism in West Virginia. I myself, I just recently went and saw the historic sites at Harper's Ferry, and I've gone rafting in West Virginia. Some of the best rafting in the world is right there in West Virginia. So how about Rick's point, Lorella, about obviously you mentioned wind is one thing for energy, but what are the prospects for helping the children of West Virginia in things beyond coal and even wind and energy and in helping? I mean, it's one of the poorest areas of the nation. What are the prospects for really bringing West Virginia into a more diverse economy?
Well, I would like to say that the prospects are good, but unfortunately they're not. Given the political climate in the state of West Virginia, it's very, very difficult to progress past coal. The politicians in the state of West Virginia, for the most part, are very hesitant to do anything at all that would be seen as not pro-coal. I agree with the caller that our most precious natural resource, of course, is not coal. It certainly is our children and their children, the next generation. I believe that West Virginia is the Saudi Arabia of water, you know, and that is one of our most precious natural resources.
The whole East Coast pretty much gets their water from Appalachia. Of course, we're not just talking about West Virginia, right? We're also talking about other
Appalachia
states, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're the Saudi Arabia of water, what does that mean for those of us in cities on the East Coast?
Well, that means that as if we keep these mountains intact, we keep creating water. And if we keep blowing the tops off the mountains and covering headwater streams, then we certainly are not going to have water. What we're doing right now with the valley fills and covering the headwater streams is we are depleting our natural resources. We're depleting our water.
Rick, something else to say?
I will only make this comment, and I appreciate you all responding positively to what I said. But let me just make this observation. At the end of it, at the end of my first commentary, you started talking about tourism. It's almost like within the subject matter, everyone is conditioned. The pros and the cons are conditioned to go a certain way. You have to compel yourselves, compel everyone out of the mold. The children are the answer. I'm telling you, it's the children.
Well, I mean, Rick, are you offering something specific? I mean, are you saying that?
Somebody's got to think about this, and you almost need. Let me tell you what I'd like to hear your next show on. I'd like to hear your next show on educational drive for the children of West Virginia, and don't mention coal except how you drag the money out of them to pay for it, out of the companies and the government.
Okay, fair enough. I'll tell you, I've done a number of shows on education.
Strengthening your children.
Yeah, I've done a number of shows on education per se. The problem is, as Zarella is saying, is that West Virginia is a mono economy, as she said, and she's working very hard, Coal River Mountain Project and Coal River Wind Project, to diversify the economy. Lorella?
Let me say that last September, the Sierra Club and Coal River Mountain Watch and an organization called Challenge West Virginia, which is another group that I'm affiliated with, did a symposium in Charleston, West Virginia. And the purpose of that symposium was to show the effects of the extractive industries on education in the state of West Virginia. We believe that there is certainly a depopulation plan in effect to try to depopulate the area because the people and the schools are in the way of the coal industry. And that's one of the things that actually came out of that symposium. And next month in North Carolina, I'll also be doing a panel with the Rural Education Working Group, which is part of the Rural Schools and Community Trust, which Challenge West Virginia is a part of, speaking to that same thing, the extractive industries on education in the state of West Virginia. Currently, we are fighting what's called the CEDARS program, which is coal education in the state of West Virginia. And what the coal industry, what the Friends of Coal are trying to do is they're actually trying to indoctrinate our students in the state of West Virginia to the benefits of coal. What we want to counter that. If we can't stop the CEDARS program in the state of West Virginia, if we can't stop them indoctrinating fourth grade children in the poorest schools in our counties in the state of West Virginia, then what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to counter that, and we're going to have to balance that out, and we're going to have to come up with our own curriculum pertaining to the environment in the state of West Virginia, and we're going to have to educate children as to the opposite. If they're calling the Beckley West Virginia Exhibition Coal Mine a tourist attraction, then we want to, and we're taking taxpayers' dollars to bus kids to see the Beckley Exhibition Coal Mine, then we want to also label Kayford Mountain in West Virginia as a tourist attraction, and we want to use taxpayers' dollars to take kids there so they can see the devastation that's done by the coal industry.
Thank you for your call, Rick.
May I make a real quick? What I'm sure you will think is a completely ridiculous.
Well, I don't know what
suggestion.
I'll think it is or not. Go ahead, real quick.
I think you ought to take your case to Bill Gates. There is no, perhaps, there are many great champions of education in this country, but somehow you need to get this before his ear. His foundation might take considerable offense to this, and I think you might find a friend and supporter there. You cannot do battle head to head with these billion-dollar companies. They'll beat you every time. You need a champion. In fact, a champion that brings more than money.
Well,
but you have to make the case in the name of your children and the future of the children of West Virginia. And one last question. Do you know what the most dangerous animal on Earth is?
I think it's man.
I think it's coal baron.
No, it isn't. It is a mother.
Oh, when she's trying to defend her children.
Consider a campaign.
I hear you.
Focused on the mothers,
on the children,
and the promise of what you want to do can do for their children.
Okay, thank you very much for your call, Rick. I do want to give out the number again.
About the issue, but it sounded really important to me.
No, no, I'm very glad you called. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. So, Lorella, how about Bill Gates? Have you approached him? Would he help you out?
Well, we haven't approached Bill Gates yet, but that's certainly a good idea. Maybe we'll look into that.
Well, I think you should. Let me ask you in general about the politics of West Virginia, because it seems like every time we propose a problem or a solution, you're saying West Virginia politicians are in the coal industry's pockets. They're not getting it. Why is that? Well, I mean, what makes obviously West Virginia politicians are elected by the people of West Virginia. Why are they in the coal industry's pockets?
Well, West Virginia politicians are elected by the people, and we didn't know until recently, and we've been lobbying on the state level, we are lobbying right now on a federal level, but we didn't know that the politicians, some of the politicians in the state of West Virginia actually believe that 60% of the state's budget comes from coal, and that's certainly not true according to our calculations.
What percent does come from coal?
According to our calculations, it's 9%.
9%.
It's 9. That comes
That's a
from
big difference between 60 and 9.
It certainly is. And so therefore, anytime you approach a politician and they believe that 60% of their budget comes from coal, they're certainly going to be very, very apprehensive. And
well, I mean, numbers are numbers. As Mark Twain used to say, you know, figures don't lie, but liars figure. I mean, can't you show the actual budget numbers? What's the problem here?
We can show that, and we just recently found this out, and it explained a lot to us the terror that we see in the faces of politicians when we try to get them to become more environmentally friendly. There's a lot of money to be made from coal. The coal industry spends a lot of money on our politicians. They lobby heavily. The coal industry spends a lot of money on the media. We're aware of the fact that when the news media, when certain news media do environmentally friendly stories about what we're doing, then very shortly they're getting phone calls from the industry saying, we're going to pull our commercials, we're going to stop backing you. And they have a pretty tight grip on the media, on the politicians, on the whole state of West Virginia. The coal industry are very, very good about backing politicians and sinking a lot of money into their campaigns and basically putting them in office as Brent Benjamin, the state Supreme Court judge.
We're going to take a quick break. Also give you a chance to call in. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Back with more on the bombing of Appalachia right after this.
This is a WPFW Women's History Month moment. Alice Dunbar Nelson, American poet and author, 1875 to 1935. As an educator,